You're listening to the Vashon Sports Machine with Oscar Lopez, your source for all the latest sports news and analysis.
This is Jess Fishlock from the OL Reign, and when I want to keep up with pirate football, I listen to Oscar Lopez on 101.9 FM.
Hello, Voice of Vashon listeners. This is Oscar Lopez, and today I will be doing a Pirate Boys Soccer midseason interview with assistant coach John Thomas. 8 games played, 8 to go in the regular season, halfway through. What are your overall feelings about how the Pirates have been doing?
Well, we have a pretty talented group of boys this year. In fact, you know, I think Coach Nicolino had mentioned to you earlier on the broadcast that, you know, this year, even, you know, we're 22 to 24 guys that are pretty solid all the way back. So I think in general, we came in with a pretty high level of expectation for the quality of play. And, you know, really it's about, you know, having mastery over the ball, controlling the ball, playing into the space, getting the ball to do what you wanted. So we started at a pretty high level this year. Most of our guys are pretty proficient in that. So the big keys starting off is just getting the speed of play up. That's the most important thing. So when you're bringing the ball from side to side, which we refer to as east-west, or you're penetrating or driving at a defender, you need to have a pace of play that is high. And it's comfortable to be slow. And it takes a little prodding, shall we say, to increase that speed of play. So that's the one thing that I think we've been working on and one starting point we had in the season that was pretty good.
Yeah, so let's talk positive. So our attack has been red hot, and statistically our best three have been Lewis Thompson, Yoni Rispighi, and Mason Haynes, as far as the stats say.
Yeah.
And you know, coming in, Mason is a freshman. Yep. Yoni's an exchange student from Italy. So how great of a surprise have those guys been?
You know, I mean, I think those are solid players. I think Isaac Newcomb on the outside and Romain Marceau Roche on the outside as well are at par with those guys. So that gives us 5 attackers. So from a positive standpoint, we started with a top 5 that was tough. You know, we have Pierce as well, that is another sophomore who has got some real speed and plays at his Highline club. So he's another person that can come in. And then we have lots of guys in the midfield that can join. So I think, we came in an extremely positive space, being able to have that level of depth in our attack. The difficulty is, as you mentioned, all of those kids are young. They're all 15, 16. So they clearly can tear up the league. There won't be any problems with them being able to take on an outside back, even when that outside back has a little bit of support. My money's on our guys. Like, they'll pretty much take it. But what we saw in the Foster game, when we played a 2A team, which is one of the better 2A teams in the state, is that they, you know, you start to ping against junior and senior defenders who are big. You know, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. That's one of the things I mentioned to the guys today. And you can't tack those guys on one-on-one. You need a little bit of help. So what we've been working on is to vary our attack from a team perspective, where we're starting to work on our overlaps, our underlaps, our give and goes, our up back throughs, our third man passing, that enables those guys to not feel like they have the weight of their, every time they get the ball, they have the weight of the world on them, that they've got to beat 3 guys and score. I don't want them doing that. I think what Coach Nicolino and I have talked about is, like, you spend time, so when your players have the ball, they are unpredictable. That means first they take you on, they see what you're worth. The next 2 times, maybe they pass gently, and just, you know, they get the ball, they play it back. They just get you guessing, and then they go. And then the next time someone comes around them, creates an off balance situation for the defender, and you start to find success. I think with those young guys, when they do hit the stronger defenders, the stronger athletes, they're going to struggle. We saw that with Marceau last year with Rowan, where he would have tremendous success against weaker opponents. And then when the tougher opponents came, you know, it was like, oh, I can't do what I've been doing all year. I let down. So I think our challenge with that group is to give them the toolbox so that individually when they go, they do well. And when that's not working, they have alternatives.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mason especially, I mean, I think he's on 13 goals or something in 8 games. He's really just been hitting the back of the net. However, as you say, it's pretty much uncontested. Is, you know, his speed and his ability on the ball is enough to just go past most defenders they've come up against. And then, you know, lo and behold, as you say, we come up against Foster. That was the first game this season where he really felt absent and he just couldn't get it going. And I think, you know, obviously he's an incredibly talented player and he is young. And that, you know, that lack of experience and maybe even the fact that he has been doing so incredibly in other games means that once he comes up against those problematic defenses, he may not really know where to go. And we kind of saw that.
Yeah, maybe. And I also think it helps to have a little camaraderie on the team, a little competition within the team, you know, who's on goals, who's not. So we really appreciate, I mean, not taking anything against Mason, but it's really good to have Newcomb and Rowan and Lewis Thompson and Yoni and, you know, even guys coming out through the midfield, Ellis and some of the players coming out of the midfield that are pressing, and they're getting some goals too. They've all scored a lot of goals. So, you know, Mason really has added some nice pace to our play, but I think that we have to make sure that we're not completely reliant on that. I think some teams, you know, they start to have early success with a certain style of play, and then you really start doubling down on that. And I think that's a mistake at the midway point of the season. I think you got to make sure that you still are exploring your alternatives in your attack.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about an area where, you know, it hasn't been bad by any extent, but we haven't been maybe as proficient as we want to be moving forward, is the back line.
Yeah.
So, you know, there hasn't been too much fluctuation between the personnel. It's kind of consistently been Gavin Keane and Ryan Noller, Jair Vai in that back three. And I think for me, they have been playing okay, but it's felt a little off. So
yeah,
can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I would say our back four, our back three, as we've been playing, and we oscillate between a back three and a back four. So for all the people who aren't watching a lot of soccer, sometimes you play in different formations. Sometimes you have four defenders that play kind of in a diamond. Sometimes those four defenders are flat. Sometimes you have three defenders with some outside wing backs that attack but also come back and help defend. So we've been playing with those defenses. And I've listened to your podcast, you and your co-host, as we've been going through the games. And I've heard what you said about the 3-5-2. But I believe that a three-back is probably a go-to lineup that we have going forward, because we have such depth, we can really run those outside backs and outside wingers. We can redline those guys. We can sub them out. We have lots of depth in Zan, Chambers, Oscar, Cobb, Meyer, can easily come in for those spots. So as a result of that, we've been playing around with that lineup. Do we need four guys in the back? Can we get away with three and send one guy forward? You really want those backs to start to become one unit. Like, they know what's going on. When one guy steps, the other guy slide in. When one guy goes up and really starts to tackle, there's support. They know when to drop. They drop together. They just get a sense for it. When I played in college, our back four, there was about six guys over a period of 2 or 3 years, and the six of us played a back four position. So there was a lot of continuity there, and we have that continuity with Orion and with Jair and with Gavin Keenan. I don't think necessarily that will be the way we will continue to play. I think that there's a good chance that those three guys will see more rotation, especially in this kind of middle section of the season. We're going to be playing around a lot with that lineup. But within a few weeks here, as we get out of the second round of our division our conference games, we'll come to probably a pretty solid back three. you know, we've been struggling more. I think our larger struggle is what we call our sixth spot, which is our central defender in the midfield. That spot has been elusive for us to plug. We've had some kids doing some great jobs there. Ellis Kudebeck plays well. Avery McLean plays really well there. Finn Kennan has been playing really well there. Quill Foman Tegenfeld has been hurt, but I expect him to see some real strong time. We might be sliding our defensive back Jair into that position to be able to give us a little more muscle there. And we've just had Ferdy Escovedo come back from injury. So now we have Ferdy. We have a lot of speed in the back. So I expect him to be part of that equation going forward.
Yeah, I'm glad you'd want to talk about the midfield because it's moved around so much this season. And I think from what I see, it's just due to that, you know, it's hard to find a player with the perfect package. Like, we've been playing Avery at that CDM, and he's just unbelievable on the ball. He always knows what he's going to do with the ball. You know, he gets it. He goes east to west, as you've been saying, perfect. But, you know, on the defensive end, and he does play in central defensive midfielder, he's not bad by any stretch, but I would say he's maybe not as proficient as somebody like Finn Kennan.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you put Finn Kennan in and then he doesn't quite have the on the ball ability that Avery does. And, you know, it's just a balancing act that's hard to.
And that's why those two guys playing together sometimes really can help. I mean, as you know, with your center defensive midfield, you need to be able to win the ball, collect the ball, distribute the ball, right? You know, and we call that the pivot. So that's this guy who really kind of orchestrates the movement from the side to the side. Avery's excellent at that, as we've all seen. He's excellent at winning the ball in tight spaces. But when it gets real aggressive, he does get pulled to the outside a little bit more. One of my critics has been clear to point that out to me. I think it's true. I think that when he gets pulled to the outside a little bit, then we start to lose our shape. Now, a guy like Finn Kennan, who is probably the most aggressive player out there, he really goes. He does not have the ball control to be able to turn that pivot. So we got to play those guys in unison. And that's why we've tended to play two defensive midfielder, again, with one attacking midfielder kind of above them. And then that leads into our attack. Mostly we can get away with that because our attack is so strong.
One more thing I want to talk about with the lineup, specifically one player, Orion Noller. Mm-hmm. I've felt watching him this season that because he plays in a three center back formation, his contribution going forward has been incredibly subdued. And I'm curious about that because I know he is so talented on the ball, especially with his long range passing.
Yeah.
But we just haven't seen it even maybe to the level we saw it last season.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he's hit some nice balls. He had a very good game against Foster. I think that was his game of the season. So it's really nice to see a senior like that who's put so much dedication into the sport really, really starting to turn up the volume. And, you know, he's one of our captains. He's one of our leaders on the team. He really is a guy we will absolutely need performance for if we're on our way towards the state tournament games. I do agree that when he was a sophomore, he came out of the back. We were playing a four back that year, and he was coming out of the back and attacking very well out of the back. And that he would be probably more effective in that role. He's a big guy. I think he's probably, 6'2", something around there.
Something like that.
So, you know, he can give us some strength in the midfield. I think we will have more ability to play him in more variant roles with Ferdy Escovedo. Ferdy, the thing that is nice about Ferdy, and again, he's been out, he's had a back injury and then a knee injury and was questionable about playing, but he is a very quick guy. Like, he is as quick as anyone. So when you have that kind of speed in the back, you can take more chances. You can push forward a little bit more. So when that happens, then we might be able to go to even a Thor back and then push Orion and maybe Oscar Cobb or potentially Zan Chambers up on the other side. And that way we can move Jair into the midfield. These are all things, options we need to have. We're experimenting with things. We're for our game tomorrow. We have very different metrics than the score of the game that we're going to be counting for. So we're going to be really working at some different things. So that's that.
Yeah, for those who, since Ferdy's yet to make his varsity debut because of injury, he, for me, really is just your classic no-nonsense center back. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he is a commander, he is loud, you know. Mm-hmm. You can hear him pretty much anywhere on the field. He's always going to be that voice. And I think, you know, there's definitely a spot and a need for that.
Yeah, and you know, we have a bunch of, I've coached all these guys since they were, how old were you when you started playing?
From 8, 7?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, I mean, it's nice living on an island. You know, I've known all you guys for a decade or longer. And Ferdy has always been someone who is very vocal and, you know, sometimes overly vocal for some of his teammates, but he's okay. He's a confident young man, so he can handle that. But he is unparalleled in that way. So much so that, you know, I know Ozzie Tanner's really been stepping up in his communication, but Ferdy just does such a nice job of managing that it does give players confidence. And when you are playing with guys in front of you and behind you and you're exhausted and you're running back and forth, having a guy who can see the whole field just helping you out, saying, hey, you know, Oscar, move to left, pick up that guy number 7, I got this, you know, there's someone that can kind of see the field and help communicate that is such a relief to players who are tired and, you know, times overwhelmed. So you know, it's really nice that he's coming back in the game.
Yeah, his another thing that he has is his knowledge of the game is really high. Like, he, you know, I'll be talking with him. I've played with him on some other clubs, and, you know, we'll be talking tactics, and, you know, obviously tactics, you won't always agree, but you can tell that he sees the game in some ways that others don't. If I would have one criticism of him, it is on the ball, his touch. I think that is not quite to the level of a lot of the other defenders. And I think, you know, if you play that right, that doesn't actually have to be that problematic of a factor. I mean, normally it's the center back who would not have as good of a touch as people on the team, but that is something to think about.
Yeah, but, you know, you could drop Ferdy into the outside. I mean, Gavin Keenan, he does such a nice job in the middle. Like, Gavin is always perfectly in the place he wants to be able to get to. You know, but like we were talking about in the midfield, you got to be able to collect the ball, you know, win the ball, collect the ball, and then you got to be able to distribute it. So, right now, I think so far, Jair Vai is probably distributing the ball better than anyone I'd like to see in the back. But again, you know, what our challenge is here for the next few weeks is really to get this defensive unit. And I talked to the boys today about this at practice, is that they need to start acting as one. They need to start, like, you got to start developing a mentality that nobody gets through and we work as a team. And then it becomes less important, you know, who steps or who distributes or who does, like, you're there in a brotherhood and you cover each other and you take care of business as a group. And the best defenses are just knitted like that. And I would say we are not yet knitted, but I do feel optimistic. I feel like it has been coming together. I thought today's training, actually, they looked much better. Our training against ourselves is probably the best league game we'll ever have. I would say even stronger than Foster, even though we did drop 2-1 to Foster. I think we had the control of the play. I think I'd like to play them again. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I think that if we can get that group to really lock down and start playing as a unit. And when I say a unit, I'm not just talking 3 guys or 4 guys. I think we need 5 in there, maybe even 6, that really can sub in and out and we don't miss a beat and they feel connected. So as you've noticed at training, I've been really keeping that little, what we call functional group. We keep that functional group together to keep the chemistry up.
I'm glad you mentioned Foster because I want to talk about it a little more. So halftime, it's 1-1. We ended the half off really strong, in my opinion, and they're down to 10 men. Final score, 3-2. We lost. What happened?
Yeah, I guess it was 3-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3-2.
Well, I think there's a few things that we could have done differently. I think when you're down, when they're down a man, when you're up a man with a half going, my sense would be to drive pace. And I think if you drive pace at the team, if you put them under extreme pressure, if you, you know, what we call a higher press, you play them hard. They did not have a lot of subs. They were on spring break like they were. We were missing three or four top guys. I'm sure they were missing a couple as well.
Their top scorer.
Yeah, well, I don't think that would have made that big of a difference, actually, but maybe, yeah, potentially. I think what you do in that scenario is you run pace at them. And I think that there was a few things. I think that we did not do that in the second half. We kind of sat there for 20 minutes and were pretty lax. I mean, I think we were controlling the ball, but we weren't driving at them. And then we started panicking and it kind of came off the rails. And that's when they got their second goal, which put them ahead because it was 1-1 at half, was it not? They countered and scored, which was kind of unfortunate, just actually kind of surprising, but just some key mistakes. So I think the first thing you have to do is drive pace. The second thing you have to do is that they had a very strong defense. Their outside backs in particular were very good. And that's the same problem that we ran into last spring when we were playing in the first round of the state tournament, where they have, when you have very strong outside backs that are bigger, you know, they're usually seniors. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, you know, they're men. And those guys can manhandle some of our forwards. And when our forwards weren't having success, we kind of shut down. We didn't get into what else can we do to be able to create a dynamic attack. So these are things that we worked on this week, all last week, is to develop alternatives to such a, what I would call a straightforward attack, which to me is boring and is predictable and is easy to defend.
Yeah, that's how you beat Annie Wright 7-0, but you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My feeling on the game, we were at our best right before halftime. That's when we scored our first goal. And what I saw was that Oscar Cobb-Meigeter had come on. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think we had actually shifted to a back four, or at least a formation where he could work down the wing. I mean, he wasn't playing right midfielder. It was Isaac Newcomb. And those two were combining really, really well and just pushing it on those fullbacks who had been doing a really good job of handling our, you know, our wide forwards on their own. But once our fullbacks had gotten forward, they were getting overwhelmed. We were able to run overlaps or whatever kind of combination play around the corner of their 18. And then the second half comes on and we've switched back to how we started the game.
Yeah.
Which to me didn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I think that what ends up happening in the 3-5-2 is that it's more of a static lineup, in that, you know, you have your back three defenders and they stay in the back. When you have a four back, usually what your backs are doing and your defensive midfielder is always thinking about who can we spring forward? Can we spring the left forward? Or can we spring the right forward? And what's nice about that is it creates chaos for the defense because they are marking their guys and all of a sudden there's this new guy that's coming around the corner. And if you can create that, you can overwhelm those guys on the outside. So I agree with you. We needed, the biggest takeaway I had from Foster was that we have to start to develop an overlapping attack that is more coordinated and more functional. We have worked on that now four practices in a row. So I expect to see changes. I think if you were interviewing me after tomorrow's game, you would find that we had 20 overlaps in that game. 10 per half is what I predict, at least. And those are things that will help to create a almost like an insecurity in their back line. Because if they have guys running around them, then they're forced to retreat a little bit. At the moment where they retreat and the guy comes around one of our forwards, now our forward has a little more space to get up, get back through, maybe cut inside and create more havoc. So that's what we're trying to do with that alternative attack.
So as you say, coming up this week, I think this is going to go out actually after our big week of games, unfortunately. But we've got four games. We got East Jefferson tomorrow, Tuesday, then a break, a one-day break. Then we've got a three-game run of Seattle Christian, Cascade Christian, Annie Wright. Now, for me, three of those games, I mean, the East Jefferson game will be interesting because due to, you know, illness, spring break absences, and Gavin Keenan being on a red card, it'll be a very different lineup.
And a dodgy field.
Yeah, that field is pretty dodgy.
Yeah, but you know, generally when fields are sloppy, that's a real ankle buster. It reminds me of VHS back in the old days.
Oh yeah,
That really is a levelizer. So instead of scoring eight goals, you score half that. Yeah. So maybe we have an off night. You're right. Now we're only scoring two or three, and we let a goal in or two. You know, it can be a game. So I don't want to count anyone out. But you're right. Those games, we should have three fairly easy games. Our tough game is going to be against Cascade Christian. They actually have an RPI higher than us. They just tied Klahowee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that Klahowee was even in the game, I mean, we have yet to have a game in the conference.
I mean,
so Klahowee, it'll be a challenge.
When we played Klahowee, they caused some problems for us in the defense. They couldn't stop us going forward. Like, we just ran through them. We scored six. But there were instances where they kind of took it to us in a way we didn't expect, and our defense looked a little shaky.
Yeah, we're not going to let four goals in anymore. It's just that you're not going to see that again.
No. And they didn't even score four. That wasn't life. It was Klahowee. They only scored two.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But Cascade Christian, statistically, they have, I mean, they haven't played Foster, but even before we had played Foster, they had let in less goals than us. So
they made it very clear that they were going to win the league this year.
Well, they just tied Klahowee, so we'll see about that. But
we'll make our mark. So I think if we can come out with it with a game, I unfortunately will be the Oregon Relay, so I'm not going to be at that game, but I will be watching live and texting and doing all the things I do when I'm unable to attend.
You mean listen to Voice of Vashon, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. You're slightly ahead actual NFHS broadcast. So I like to watch the play develop. And when you and your co-host Jamie get excited, then all of a sudden I know what's coming and somehow it ruins it. Yeah. So I watch it first and then I'll listen to guys on demand.
So last time we went to Cascade Christian, that's my favorite game I've ever done, obviously. For those in the game at halftime, I mean, we were looking pretty bad, but it was so fun, and I hope we can get another. I hope we can get another game like that.
Well, yeah, and what Oscar's referring to is that the game a year ago, we went down 3-0.
3-0 at halftime.
So that, and then we came back and won in overtime, right?
Yeah, it was great.
What I would call a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah.
That will not happen again, I don't believe.
They definitely have some defensive stuff. Studs. There was this one guy named Josiah who really commanded the back line, and he's my age, so he's a junior now. Their roster didn't have that many seniors, so they'll be a good team.
Oh, I think they expect to be a very good team, and I think we're going to have a good match. I'm not trying to take him sitting down. I think that when we play our game, we are tough to beat. That's all I'm saying.
100%.
So we just got to make sure that everyone shows up. And the other thing that I think we really got to drive is our boys are not. We need to get more intense. The reason why Foster pulled it out is because they frankly wanted it harder and wanted it more. And they were very swarmy, and they were very, they had a good soccer culture, and that wins games a lot of the times. And I feel like that's slipping a little bit. So Coach Nicolino and I have been on the guys to pick up their intensity a little bit. So we've been trying to insert some of that energy in practice.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that falls to the captains to really work that squad. I mean, I've been with the team a ton, and I think it's a byproduct of us being in a very poor league that there's never been a game where it really felt like on the ride out, let's kill these guys.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you know, how many goals is Mason going to score? You know, can I get an assist? Let's see.
Yeah. No, we had that discussion exactly today with our captains, short Orion Noller, who is out with a cold.
Another
thing that we have three guys out with colds, so that could be another little, it seems like the Vashon Island High School is a petri dish of colds right now.
Always has been, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sure it will all work out.
Well, just about half an hour. That's it.
Yeah, that
me.
Sounds great. Yeah. So Oscar, thanks for having us in. I appreciate an opportunity to be able to share with the public what we're thinking. I really appreciate the community support for these guys. These are kids that have grown up here, and they were out with Vashon Island Soccer when they were small, and now they're representing our schools at their terminal years of high school soccer. So the fact that the community came out and supported the girls so hard, and we had a great Friday night game with the girls when we hosted the state championship, the first round of the state playoffs. I expect that to be the case again. And it's really great to see everybody out at the stadiums. You can find all the games at the high school webpage under sports. You can click and see how many home games. We'll have a few more coming up before the end of this playoffs. And I do expect the playoffs to be to a large extent here.
Yeah, if I want to advertise one game, I think if I'm not wrong, our last home game is our second fixture against Cascade, which will also, because it's our last home game, I imagine it'll end up being senior night.
That'll be a cracker.
That'll be an absolute cracker. Yeah, I'm already looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be great. So, hey, come out to the stadium. Watch our kids play. You know, they really enjoy it, and they really appreciate it when folks come
out. And it's not like the girls this year or the boys last year. We only have, what, four seniors? So you're not going to be sitting for 45 minutes at halftime listening
no,
to people talk.
Get four seniors. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it's going to be short. So come enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming. It's been great having you.
Great. Thanks, Oscar.
And, yeah, I'm looking forward to, I imagine, more interviews to come.
Okay. Sure. No problem.